Home, chapter 3, verse 3, at verse 14. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now before we read elsewhere, it must be clear to you that the Lord Jesus is telling us that of a certain incident when Moses lifted up a serpent. And he says, just as it was necessary for Moses so to do, even so must he, the words, the Son of Man, are a title of Christ. Even so must I be lifted up upon a cross, that whosoever, that's you and me, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but shall have eternal life. Now, that you might be a little more intelligent as to what the Lord is speaking about, could we turn back to our Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, to find out what the Lord is speaking about. Numbers chapter 21, we'll commence our reading, please, at verse 4. The children of Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and thou soul loathest this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now we're coming to the passage that the Lord spoke about. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now back now to John 3. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So yonder in the desert, multitudes of men and women are suffering and dying. Say, what's the cause of all the suffering? Say, why are so many people dying? Well, you read it for yourself, didn't you? Here's the reason, for the people tell us themselves. They said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the law. So that sin is the cause of all the suffering. And sin is the cause of all the dying. Look around you in the world tonight. And all the suffering that you see is caused by sin. And the fact that people die in this world is because of sin. It would be wonderful if we could live without suffering, without disease, without physical or mental disorder, but we don't. It would be more wonderful if we could live forever and we would never know the experience of dying, nor the experience of sorrow and grief and mourning, if broken hearts were unknown. But that doesn't happen in Vancouver or elsewhere. And as we grow older, we draw nearer to the gates of death. And it is so because we have sinned. We have sinned. Now in that day, God provided a remedy. He said to Moses, now listen, Moses. You make a serpent of brass and you lift it up upon the pole. Moses, everyone that looks shall live. Now you've got all that. Now listen again. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that it might prove to be life and healing to the nation, even so God has decreed that Christ must be lifted up upon the cross, that men and women like you and I who have sinned might be forgiven and healed and eternally blessed, if we are prepared to believe in Him. That is, whosoever believeth in Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice a number of things, please, in the passage, will you? Will you notice, first of all, that the remedy was provided by God? Isn't that right? Here are these people suffering and dying. The whole nation would have perished if God had not provided the remedy in the serpent that was lifted up. So that it is true today. Listen, my friends, will you please, that not one of us would ever have entered the pearly gate. There's not a person from Adam downwards would ever have known the bliss of heaven, if it had not pleased God to provide a way whereby we can be forgiven and healed and blessed. And God has provided the remedy in Christ. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Now listen, you may choose to ignore the remedy. You may choose to neglect it. You may choose to abuse it. You might have decided you're going to have absolutely nothing to do with it. But listen, friends, against the fact that you can't do anything, not even lift your little finger to atone for one of your sins, God has provided the remedy, and the remedy is Christ. And notice what? Notice, please, that not only did God provide the remedy, but there was only one remedy. Now, right? Moses, you must help the serpent. Everyone that looks shall live. Only one remedy. No competition between Eliphaz and Holyphaz. No herbalist walking up and down with his little bottle telling you to take this. There was only one remedy and one cure. It was that which God provided, Look, and thou shalt live. And listen, friends, look you. There's only one Savior. One day the Lord Jesus stood and said, I am the way. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. When he said, I am the way, he excluded all other ways. Will you listen to me? You can't make any mistakes. And you can't tell me you don't see it. For there's only one Savior. There's not two, nor three, nor four, nor five. There's only one. There's only one person can bring you to God. Only one person can forgive your sins. Only one person can give you peace. And that person is Christ. And if you haven't got him, you're not connected and you're not in the road to heaven. Is that clear? Whosoever believeth in Christ, not in yourself, that by doing the best you can you'll get to heaven, not by believing in the sacrament as a means of grace or holy communion or whatever you call it, not in baptism, whosoever believeth in Christ, that's what the book says. Read it again for yourself. You can't mistake it. The language is simple and clear and plain. It conveys unmistakably and clearly what God intended. One Savior. He stands alone, unique, isolated, solitary. You can't miss him. And if you bypass him, or turn away from him, or turn your back on him, then you'll be lost forever. Is that clear? There's only one Savior. How would you notice that? I want you to notice that when the remedy was provided, that the remedy availed no matter who was with it. Now is that clear? Everyone that works shall live. The remedy availed for everybody, without exception. It mattered not who the person was. It mattered not his status in life. It mattered not whether he was rich or poor, educated or illiterate, whether he was a priest or one of the common folk. Everyone that works, the remedy availed for everybody, without distinction. Who is my that in this world tonight, under the canopy of heaven, God tells us there's only one Savior, and there's only one Savior for everybody. Go ahead. If Prime Minister Trudeau has ever to be in heaven, he'll need to acknowledge his need and take Christ as his Savior and Lord. Is that clear? There are men languishing in prison tonight for crimes from what is very little to what is very great. But it matters not their criminal record. If ever they're going to be in heaven, they'll need to be prepared to acknowledge their need of Christ. Now if you're here tonight, I don't know you. I don't know your background, I don't know where you come from. I don't know the situation that you enjoy. I don't know your position in life. I don't know the extent of your bank book, your prestige, or anything. All that I'm here to tell you tonight in God's name, that it matters not who you are. You need God's Son, and you need God's forgiveness, and you'll only get here by putting your faith and trust in Christ alone. So is that clear?
Yes.
Now, listen carefully, will you? Tell me, what are you depending on? Honestly, you're a thinking man or woman. Someday you'll reach the end of the road. Tell me, upon what are you depending for eternity? If you're depending alone in Christ, you're as safe as God can make you. Got it? It avails for everybody without exception. I was more than that. The remedy not only avails for no matter who is better, it avails no matter where they were better. Is that right? For instance, here's a young woman and she's walking quickly along and suddenly she then comes to pick up something and she feels a stinging sensation in her forearm.
she's been bitten.
All that she needs to do is to turn and look. And as she looks to the serpent, to the heel. Here's a red fellow lying in the tent. Suddenly, he feels the sensation in his temple. All that he's asked to do is to go outside and turn his eyes to where the serpent uplifted yonder, silhouetted against east of the sky, look! And thou shalt live, and you'll be healed. It matters not where you are bitten. Arms, head, body, leg. This remedy avails, no matter where. How then will you listen to me? Sin affects people in different ways. That's why we're all different. Sin makes some men drunkards. Alcoholic. Sin makes some women drunkards. Sin makes some men wife beaters. Sin makes some women liars. Sin makes some men commit some heinous crimes. Sin makes some women of the street, prostitutes. Sin produces all the weird types that are in Vancouver. Men and women with a twisted outlook. It's sin that makes you awkward. It's sin that makes you difficult. It's sin that makes you hard to live with. It's sin that's produced all around us. It doesn't matter what you call it. What you call it. Hippies, homosexuals, the law. That's what sin has produced. Society around us as you see it tonight is not the world that God made it. That's the world that sin has made and men have made. I tell you, it's someplace. And it's sin within you that gives you the bent for what's wrong. It's sin that makes you do what you don't want to do. It's sin that makes you proud. It's sin that makes you think you're better than other people. It's sin that makes you think that you should be treated different from everybody else. All these variety of outlooks are produced. But think of it. The remedy avails no matter where a person was bitten. It doesn't matter to God what you are. It doesn't matter to God who you are. It doesn't matter to God where you come from. There's a remedy available for you. Christ can meet your needs. He can meet the needs there of the most twisted kind of people. He can meet the needs of the dirtiest kind of people. You go out there onto the street, and you can meet fallen women and filthy men. And you listen to it. They need to get converted. They need to be changed. They need to be saved. They need to be forgiven. But so do you and I, who are more respectable. You see, we have all sinned, some more than others. But no matter how small or great, there's only one remedy. The same Christ that opens the door of heaven to me can open the door of heaven to you. Is that clear? It avails for everything. It avails for every class in society. Christ is not only the Savior of the middle class. He's the Savior of every strata of society. The gates of heaven are open to all who acknowledge their need and come to Christ. Now, are you there? Come on, sir. Have you got it? Do you know? Do you believe in it? Now, listen here. Will you notice, please, that to be cured and healed yonder in the desert of evening? It was easy. What could be easier than love and love to live? It was easy. Now I want to say to you, please, in God's name, don't make easy things difficult. That's it. If it's been difficult to you before, it's a piece of fault. It's easy. Now, what? Here the Lord says, whosoever believeth in him. Now tell me please. In the Old Testament incident it says, look, and thou shalt live. Here it says, believe, and you'll have eternal life. There's a good difference. Looking, believing, looking. But let me illustrate it to you. Lying on the desert sand, there's a young woman. We'll call her Jesus. Now, Jesus is a very intelligent young woman. But she's been bitten by the serpent. And over her bends her mother. And her mother says, Jean, 20 minutes ago your father was bitten. And he looked to the serpent, and your father was healed. She looks at her mother. Her eyes are honest. She says, Mother, I don't understand the connection between that serpent up there and the serpent that bit me down. I don't see any connection. Now then her mother again. And very wisely, she says, her mother does usually work. She says, listen, Jesus, never mind whether you understand the connection or not. Just you do what God says. Jesus, God says if you look, you'll live. Why not believe God, Jesus? Supposing you don't understand it all, just you put your faith in what God says. And if you do that, just as surely as Pharaoh was healed, you'll be healed. Jesus, believe the promise of God. Did you look that up? Did you know that? If God says it, I'll do. And she lifts her eyes, and they set to heaven. And so within the orbit of her gaze, so measured against the sky, she saw the brazen scepter. The moment she rose, you're not asked to understand the theology of the cross. You'll never fully understand it. All that you're asked to believe is that God sent his Son to be your need. And on that cross he dies in atonement for human sin. He's not dying as a martyr. He's dying in atonement for sin. And God says, whosoever believeth in him. I want to ask you tonight, will you have your eyes and put your faith in Christ only? My eyes didn't go very much tonight. I got them there. I wasn't reared in a Christian home. Nobody told me when I was a little boy that God loved me and that the blood of Christ would cleanse my sins. I knew what it was to be outside in the world without God and without Christ, keeping company of a certain kind. I can remember the night I arrived in a meeting like this. Heard this wonderful message that told me that God loved me and was prepared to forgive a sinner like me. Mind you, I can remember getting down on my knees that night. I didn't know very much about the cross. I knew it was a sinner. I believed that Christ would meet my needs. Very, very simply, I made my decision for Christ. If you had met me along the road, it would have slipped me up easy. I didn't know very much. But I knew that I had Christ. The theology of the cross was unknown. what the coming of Christ would be. That's it. I want your answer to you tonight. Will you lift your heart? Lift your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe. Okay? I want you to notice that it was individual. Everyone that works shall live. Now, right? Yes. The Lord said, whosoever believeth. That's you. That's you. Whosoever believeth. I told you about Jesus, the mother, didn't I? And her father. Her father getting healed didn't avail for Jesus. Jesus to look for herself. Have you got that? So I want to ask you something. Now think. And think hard. Has there ever been a time when conscious of your needs, you've made your decision for that? Come on. Now think hard. A moment when your student said in so many words, Lord, I believe. I believe. It's individual. It's personal. You're involved in it. Now have you got it? Lord, I believe. Something more. I want you to notice that it was immediate. Am I? The Lord's word was quite clear. It says that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. Believers shall never perish, but shall have eternal life. As soon as you lift your heart, as soon as you say, Lord, I believe, that very moment, your sins are forgiven, and you become the possessor of eternal life. Have you got it? Come on now. I tell you, yonder in the desert, they didn't send them away to convalesce for 3 months. It was immediate.
Immediate.
That is very easy for some people. For some of you folks have been reared in a Christian home, and when you make your decision, well, you can't repent of things you never think. It took me 7 days from the first time I listened to a message like this to get back into the same hole. Because I didn't want to go back. And yet I didn't want to go back. But I reckoned if ever I went back to that hole again, I would get converted. And the battle raged for 7 days. I knew the kind of life that I lived. Brought me under the judgment of God. I can remember going into a little empty room and the teacher took out his Bible. Listen to me, will you? When you've been outside there, you don't need a man with a Bible to tell you you're a sinner. I reckon I had forgotten more about sin than they'd ever learned. But there came a moment. Maybe not only to God and me. That moment when my heart bowed to the claims of Christ. That moment when I was prepared to surrender everything and believe that only Christ could help me. That moment, my sins were forgiven. I possessed eternal life in the temple. Now tell me, then, is that what you want? Come on, Doug. Is that what you want?
So tell me of all the successes that this man had. You never hear of a failure. But then it tells you, of course, you don't deny it. Listen to me. There never was a person yet in any country and in any condition that ever lifted a heart to God and said, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. But I believe Christ can help me." There never was one of these persons, but at the end of the road reached the heavenly door. You know what Christ said? Not one is lost. The cure is infallible, it can't fail. And if you sit there tonight, you say, "Lord, I believe, oh God, I'll take Christ now." I tell you on the authority of the Lord, it's a faith that you intend on. There is two different heavens, you are sitting up. Now, if you wish, you can make the decision very soon. You don't need to wait till the end of the weekend. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to move your lips. You don't need to bend your knees. You don't need to come out.
All you have to do is lift your heart with the heart and the mind. All you have to do is to confess your need. With the mouth confessing his name and the mouth of Jesus. I was sitting way up yonder in a small town in Scotland. In the village, there was a certain man, we'll call him Joe. This happened just over a year ago. One Sunday night, the gentleman I was staying was on the way down and knocked the door. And when the young woman came to the door, he said, "It's Joe." He said, "Joe, come in." There Joe sitting, he's just home from his work, and he said, "Joe, will you come to the meeting tonight?" Joe said, "What time is the meeting at? This is 5:30. He said, "The meeting's at 8 o'clock. Joe thought it was around about 6. To the gentleman's surprise, Joe said, "I'll come to the meeting." It had become known that Joe had been home 3 weekends in succession without any pay. He had gambled on the way home. He was there with his wife and 2 children. He was a compulsive gambler. Joe came along to the meeting on the Sunday night and listened just like you. Seemed quite interested and walked out. Joe comes back on the Monday night. Seemed very interested and walked out. On a Tuesday afternoon, walking up the village street, knocking some doors, a man came out with the working garb on from behind the house, and as I walked past, he said, "Oh, Mr. Hunter," and I looked around here in the store. Before I could speak to him, he said, "I'll be along to the meeting tonight." No, I said, "Thank you." Joe Funny is what now done in such a long time. Right enough. The meeting had just started when Joe arrived at the door. And the hall was quite full of a lot of villagers. And one of the friends said to Joe, "Come this way," and they brought Joe down, and he could only get a seat around the front seat, and Joe came into the seat. We were singing an old time hymn. "Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now." So we finished singing and I started to play. Unknown to me, while I was playing, Joe broke down. He started to weep in the seat. When I finished playing, and as I gave out the second hymn, fortunately it was a hymn of 4 verses with 8 lines in each verse. "On the golden street of heaven all men hope to walk someday." Hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. That I give up to him. Joe said to the friend next to him, he said, I'll need to get out of here. The friend was a little disappointed when he stepped into the passageway full of joy. There I was standing. Joe came out into the passage, turned and walked right forward to the platform. And he said, I would like to get saved now. This wasn't the first time this had happened. It happened about 4 years ago in Toronto, when a man in the second line seat, about 10 to 8, walked right out. I thought he was going out, and he walked right down the passageway and up his hand for me to stop him. Ever, there's Joe. I said, Joe, we're delighted to know that you want to be saved. I said to the folks, you all know Joe, don't you? Yeah, that's what he said. I want to be saved now. And Adam's still standing at the end of the seat with his eyes started popping out his head. And I said, Adam, just you take Joe into that little room at the back and I'll be looking. When I had gotten away without embarrassment, I said to the folks, now you have to feel better. So I was through there with Adam the foreman. Adam said, so cool. I said, I'll be through in a minute. And I said, before I was through, I want to pray for Joe and you. So I went up there and we started to sing. We haven't heard. Adam's sitting with his Bible, showing Joe the scripture. And you only have to point Joe to Christ. So when I went through, I spoke to Joe. And then I said, Joe, we're singing the last verse of the hymn. I'll lead you to that and sing. All right. I said, Joe, would you like to wait here? You can hear me here. Or would you like me to get your seat at the back of the hall, although there are none, you know, all brought up? Joe looked at me. He said to me, Mr. Hunter, I'll just go back to the seat. So I walked down the hall, Joe behind me, and Adam behind him, and then we went. Joe's still there. Joe arrived the next night at 30. He went out to the old net. And at 40 evening, I went back into his home to speak to him. His wife was there, one of the children on me. After I spoke to him, but by the time I said, no, Joe, I said, I don't know what to do. I said, Joe, I'll pray. And I said, my friend, I wouldn't be able to pray. And I said, would you like to pray? So they were my knees. And I prayed, and I prayed. And Joe said, go down there on his knees. I said, you pray for me. And wait a minute. I said, I know that because it happened with me before. Suddenly it dawned on me, Joe, I never prayed in his knees. He said, you don't know what this is. So I said to him, I said, just you tell God you're thinking of this. Joe said, Lord, I would like to see Martha say that's the right thing to do. So we waited a minute or two, nothing else happened, and I said, Joe, thank the Lord for saving us. And the man's perfectly simple. He said, Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, I thank you for Mr. Hunter's speech. You met him in 2 or 3 of them, 7 years ago. His wife saved. You know, I'm going to tell you. We not only save our souls, we save our lives. And there they are, as happy as it's possible to be. Now, what he's done for us, he can do for you. Ow! Now, one thing more than I need to say, if you notice that it says, whosoever by the words.
So I wonder why I say that.
Why did it say words?
Fancy.
It didn't say whosoever touches the horn. It didn't say whosoever prays to the horn. It didn't say whosoever kneels to the horn. It didn't say whosoever puts their money down at the foot of the horn. Why did it say whosoever works?
It's clear from the passage that the last of the faculties to go with the serpentine was sight. That's why God said, look, it could paralyze a man that he could walk, nor speak. But there was hope as long as he could see in the last of the faculties to go with sight. So right to the end there was hope if the man would look and live. Listen to this. Can you tell me anything easier to believe it? Why, if you were here tonight and you couldn't speak, and I could communicate with you, you could still believe, couldn't you? If you're lying in your bed paralyzed and couldn't move, if I communicate with you, you could believe, couldn't you? You can believe, no matter where you are, no matter how you are. That's why the Savior said, whosoever believeth. I want to ask you where you take them. I want to ask you where you've seen them.
Supposing it's the first time ever you've heard this,
I want to say, knowing that you're a sinner and you need to say God, will you say, Lord, I will. Okay? Oh God, I'll take Christ now.
You can't miss him. He's the only one. He's the only person you can come to. There's nobody else. There's nobody else leads to the way to heaven. There's nobody else. Guaranteed forgiveness of sins. There's nobody else who'll give you life eternal. Only Christ. He can't miss him. Not I.
Why not humble yourself to say, oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I'll take Christ and I will take him.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must Christ be lifted up upon us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
There's